Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
I'd like to say, I apologize to the Raider Nation. I really compliment the Falcons. They played a hell of a football game, and we did not. The turnovers, the penalties, inexcusable. It's a reflection of me. We're a lot better team than that.
Back here on Therapy Monday. That's right, Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. Call them anytime at 702-820-1234 because you deserve what's right. Your doctors of Raider Nation are in the house. Scott Culbranson, my co-host Q Myers. Q, we got a lot to talk about today. I'm sure we'll get a lot of venting as well, my friend.
Yeah, I think so, man. What we saw on Sunday was not good football from the Raiders. And I think that a lot of people are pretty upset. And I feel like, you know, this is the same team that we saw last year. I don't think so, but I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, there is a lot of that feeling because they got to the 6-4. We talked to Hunter Renfrow last week about that. We heard all week about, hey, no, this is a different team. We believe, you and I said that all last week, this is a different team. Hondo Carpenter, all the guests we had on last week who covered the Raiders said, nah, this feels so much different. But then they go to Atlanta. And there's no other way to put it. It's not, you know, we don't attack people on this show. We don't attack people as individuals. We just talk about play on the field and what they do. And to a man, for the most part, this team just didn't show up. You had bad offense. You had bad coaching. You had bad quarterbacking. You had bad offensive line play. You had bad defense at times, although the defense, to me, was the bright spot
defense
on the day.
Defense gave him a chance.
Yes, the defense was the bright spot on the day. How many times would we think we would say that? But
right,
I'll tell you
exactly.
And especially losing Trayvon Mullen earlier in the game, as well as Damon Arnett, that defense, man, I'll tell you what, they had some cojones. They showed up. When their offense wasn't clicking early in the game, even into the second half, they were there. They tried to really make sure that that game stayed close. So there are no participation trophies in the NFL, but I will say there was a gut check by that defense, and they played pretty well. Just a rundown real quick before we get to the subject at hand, you can call in. As I said, Dr. Q, Dr. Scott, we're here to listen. 702-365-9200 is the number. Coming up at 2:30, Uncle Hondo, Hondo Carpenter from Sports Illustrated will be with us. His website, Raider Maven, of course, up on SI.com, called the game and the loss inexcusable. So we'll hear from him about that.
Agreed.
As well as talk about the revelation that Derek Carr gave after the game about a practice issue last week. We're going to go into that deeply. Then we'll continue to take your calls. Top of the hour, as we do on Monday, we switch things a little around. Here, Q-Tip will be at 3 o'clock, so open up the ear holes and get ready. I'm sure Q's going to have a good one today. 3:20, 13 minutes with Hunter Renfrow. We'll talk to the Raiders third and Renfrow, Hunter Renfrow, who had a good game, but as we know, in this sport, this league, individual performance mean nothing if you don't win the game. But still, we'll talk to him about all of that. And then we'll close the show, as we do every Monday, with our good friends Sam and Ash, and we'll learn what the hell a vampire facial is. I know.
What?
Dude, trust me. Wait till you hear this. It's crazy. But we'll talk to them about the Raider game. But we'll also, we mix it up with them, some legal stuff. It's always fun. Yeah, vampire facial, dude. I almost wanted to leave the planet when I found out this existed and that people pay for it. But we'll get to that later. First off,
I don't think I want to know, dog, to be honest.
Yeah, you probably don't. But Q, I'm sitting there. I'm watching the game yesterday, and I maybe it's me. You can blame me if you want. I'll take it on for you. But I said on Saturday, I really felt, man, Derek Carr is going to have a big game. I really felt like this guy has crossed that threshold. And I'm not making this about Derek Carr, because this was a team loss. No doubt. You can blame one player. Nah, they all shared in this loss. But Derek Carr did not have a good game, his first really bad game, I think, of the season. And the offensive line, for all that we've talked about, for all the praise we've given Tom Cable, they just laid an egg on the field at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Q. And the offense, if you look at things here, the offense just could not get it going. The offense could not find a rhythm the entire game.
No, they couldn't, you know, and that was really disappointing. I love the fact that they received, or they didn't receive the ball, but they kicked off to start the game, and the defense gets a three and out. You know what I mean? They get the ball back, and I thought, perfect. That's what the Raiders defense needed to do, and then all of a sudden the offense can go and get cooking. Well, unfortunately, we are still waiting for that offense to get cooking, and it just never happened, and that was really a big disappointment because that is the bread and butter. That's what we've been hanging our hats on, like, hey, the Raiders can compete with anybody offensively. Well, on Sunday, that was a no-go.
No, and we're going to get to your call, 702-3... can't even talk. I'm so upset about yesterday. 702-365-9200 is a number. Just by the way of numbers, Derek Carr, 22 of 34, 215 yards, one interception, three fumbles, a passer rating of 70.1. 70. He had, I don't know what, four or five games in a row over 100 and something, and down to 70. Josh Jacobs, seven carries, 27 yards.
Unacceptable.
Darren Waller, four receptions, four. Count them, four. You don't even need two hands. 23 yards. Here's a guy.
Unacceptable.
Q, here's a guy second in the league with 64 catches and 542 yards. He gets four receptions. Incredible.
Right. The offense was just terrible.
Yes.
It was abysmal. You know what I mean? It was not a very good showing for that unit. They never showed up at all. And that has a lot to do with, in my opinion, coaching. It has a lot to do with players out executing.
Right, and we talked about that defense and the fact that they found a new level. We saw progress from that defense against a pretty good offense in the Atlanta Falcons, who have underperformed as recent. But you saw Nicholas Morrow, career high 10 tackles, tied again for his career high, of course. And then I was really excited, Q. I thought Corey Littleton played his best game as a Raider. And really showed me that, you know, whatever happened, he got on the COVID list, he took some time, he was out, he came back, he looked different yesterday.
Yeah, he looked like he was, you know, playing the part. He looked like he was actually the guy that they expected him to be. I thought he did a good job. I thought the rotation was good with him and Morrow, and I thought they did. I mean, again, the defense wasn't the reason they lost this game at all.
No, and that's, we don't say that very often, but we're going to go out on the phone lines now, and we're going to allow you on this Therapy Monday to express yourselves, talk about the loss, tell us what you think and what it means for the future of this team in 2020. We're going out to Los Angeles first. It's Eddie. He wants to talk about the playbook and pressure on the Raiders. What's going on, Eddie?
What's going on, fellas? Appreciate another outlet for us Raider fans, especially when they're over here in the Bay Area. You would get screened on which calls they would get whenever they wanted. So it's awesome to be able to kind of vent here. What I wanted to talk about is the playbook or the lack thereof. I think, John Gruden said it best. He knew what he was going up to. It was an understudy of himself. So who would know him better? Why not show a couple of different wrinkles? It seems like nothing new. There was no creativeness to this weekend. They started out, instead of running the ball to being the team that's who they are, they try to force feed the ball on a couple players like Renfro, and it just kept going and going. And I felt like they kept going away from the run. And then when they went for it on fourth and one, we went out wide. I mean, it got a little predictable, if you ask me. And it kind of begs the question: you go for it on 4 and 3. You go for it on 4-1, but you don't go for it, and you set up for a field goal when you're already down the double digits. I mean, it's just the inability to change up your playbook on the fly or change up your scheme, because it doesn't seem like they even brought their scheme with them. I have no clue what they were trying to run on offense, because it just seems like they just didn't know what they wanted to do. And then, and another thing I wanted to talk about is the lack of pressure. I understand the defense did an awesome job, but to be honest with you, man, we should have gotten after Matt Ryan a lot more than just one. We should have been able to get at least three sacks. And not that it would have helped, obviously, because the offense just laid a fat egg, but this game is the game that you shouldn't have lost, and you would have gave yourself some wiggle room if something went wrong. Now you're up against the wall. Now you got to pretty much win out. especially the wild card is working out. So I don't see how we're going to be able to rush the passer with defensive play like we did yesterday.
Yeah, Eddie, no, good call, man. I appreciate it. I'm glad you got a chance to vent. You bring up some good points. I'm going to start with your last point, and Q, you jump in on this one too. Listen, the defensive lack of defensive pressure is not something they're going to fix until you get either some new bodies in or something, a light goes on and something clicks. This defensive front has shown what they are. I thought they did a little better yesterday. They did pressure him more. It didn't result in sacks, and I still think they missed Cleland Furl on that line. But the Falcons didn't run the ball effectively. It was all passing, and the Raiders they got pressure, but they just couldn't get home again yet, Q.
No, they couldn't, you know, and that's the problem. That's something I challenged them last week, you know. The Saints got to Matt Ryan 8 times. The Raiders got to Matt Ryan once. And that was really a coverage sack. You know, Nick Wachowski did a really good job getting him to the ground. But, I mean, that took forever. You know, Matt Ryan, I thought he was going to get rid of it. He just held on to it. So, I mean, that was almost like a courtesy sack. You've got to be able to get home. Max Crosby got there a couple times, got his hands on him, and wasn't able to bring him to the ground. I mean, we talk about Arden Key. How many times has he, you know, gotten to quarterbacks and not been able to get them down? Well, like, if it's good for one guy, it's good for everybody. If Arden Key's blowing sacks and not getting them, you know, you got to call out Max Crosby. He didn't get sacks as well. I mean, he's got to be that alpha dog if that's who he's going to be. And unfortunately, I just don't think the Raiders have that alpha dog.
No, and the thing with Max Crosby, and I like Max Crosby, don't get me wrong. The thing that concerns me is that I always hear excuses about why he's not getting home.
Right.
I hear, well, he's getting more attention. Yeah, well.
Okay. Every good pass rusher gets a lot of attention.
Right. Aaron Donald gets more attention. I mean, you go down the line of defensive ends, defensive linemen, whether they're interior or on the edge, and if they're good, then they get attention. They get extra attention, okay, just like a receiver does. It doesn't mean you don't perform. So that's – I'm just concerned there, but maybe that's how bad that interior or that line has been doing, is that they know they don't have to worry about it, so they just focus on one guy. But still, you want to see him get home. He had some plays yesterday I really liked, and I love Max Crosby as a dude and as a player. Mm-hmm. Just want to see him do what he did last year. Okay, going out on the lines again to Fabian, our good buddy. Fabian, you want to talk about the loss, man. What do you think of this? Is this a big sign of trouble, or is this just a bump in the road they got to get over quickly?
To be honest, I think it's a bump in the road. Only because during the game yesterday, when we were on our Discord chat amongst my group, it was like when stuff started happening, I was going and talking with somebody who was like, hey, the Raiders have a 20-year history. What do you mean don't be so negative? There's nothing else to displace that other than it was a bad job on Gruden. Bottom line, he's the head coach. He's the one technically that runs the show there. So it falls on him. But now I guess he knows how the Raiders felt when they played Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. Mm. Somebody knew your offense.
Yeah.
And guess what? You got shot down.
Look, there's no other way to put it. Fans are upset. I get it. They should be, because it was a terrible performance, but it was a terrible performance all the way around. Nobody escapes it. It's coaching, and Gruden said it after the game, right? Gruden said it. Carr said it after the game as well, that something was off. In fact, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it as always. In fact, Q, here's Derek Carr. This is what really, when I heard this, I really just, I looked up and I was intent. I was listening to the press conference, and this really got me.
It absolutely felt that way. I didn't think, personally, we had our best week of practice. Personally thought we were a little flat. Clearly, that was the case in the game. And anytime you turn the ball over like that, you're not going to win football games. You know, that's very rare. Percentages are really low. So, they haven't felt this way in a while. So it's a gut punch for sure.
So, Q, I want to ask you this question. It's somewhat rhetorical, but still. Here's what I'm thinking when I heard that, and then as I've reflected on it for 24 hours, because it is a big part of the story.
I did a whole podcast about it today.
Yes, and I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but I did see you tweet it out. By the way, don't forget to subscribe to the Locked On Raiders podcast with Q every single day, every single morning, your dose of Raider stuff, which is great, and then you get us in the afternoon. But Q, so he says that, and I'm thinking to myself, first of all, and I know this might seem like an odd one, and it's not just an ass kiss, but I credit Derek Carr for bringing it up. He didn't have to say anything, right?
Agreed.
So I'm glad that he did. I think that was his way of calling guys out without naming names, so to speak. And we'll talk about whether that's enough yet or not later. But to me, though, it's like, wait a minute. You're a team at 6-4 at the time. You just came off a big loss against your division rivals, the at least the first or second best team in the AFC. And you're fighting now to you're getting into playoff time. It's November, December. Okay? This is when the crap gets real.
Yeah.
Okay? And you have a flat week of practice? Now, Coach Gruden said today in his press conference that went off late, so we don't have the sound yet, but he said they were prepared. This team was prepared. It wasn't for a lack of preparation. I'm sorry, but if you're flat in practice, does that mean you're prepared? You might know the plays, you might know the game plan.
Right.
But to me, preparation is emotional, it's physical, and it's mental.
Yep, I agree on all levels. And it's really disappointing. And I was like you, when Derek Carr said that, I thought, wow. You know what I mean? Because we talked about it last week. You can't allow a loss to beat you twice. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like they absolutely allowed that loss to Kansas City, beat them twice. And that's not okay. You know, and if you have a flat week of practice, and Derek Carr even said this a little bit later on, I'm sure you had the audio on it. He said, I asked a couple other guys on the team if they felt the same way, and they did. Mm-hmm. Well, my question is, why did the captains of the team, Derek Carr is one of them, and the other captains on the squad not say, hey, stop, this is BS. We don't practice like this, like Derek Carr said. That doesn't set up to our standard that we've set. Well, yeah. How come the captain of the team did not stop dead in his tracks and say, hey, man, this is not what we do. Guys, we have not arrived. We have a lot to play for. If you're not going to give it your all, then why don't you hit the showers? I don't understand why nobody stood up and said that and called people out in practice when they still had a time and a chance to turn things around. You can't talk about it. I mean, you can talk about it after the game, but it does no good. You already lost.
Right. And the question is, maybe that did happen, Q. I don't know. If it did happen, that's even more concerning. Now, I don't know that it did. But we're going to ask Hunter Renfrow later on his segment, 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfrow at 3:20. I'm going to ask him about that, too, because during the press conference afterwards, he said he didn't feel that. But he said, you know, Derek has a bigger view. I'm in the wide receiver room, and we come out and practice as a unit. So, but I'll ask him about that, because to me, I think it's a huge question, because if you get to this point in the season – and I know they've had a lot of adversity. It wears on you, right? But you get to this point in the season, and if you're having trouble, if you're coming out flat, that's a problem. Because to me, that's a big sign of immaturity, which I think is part of it. And these guys are professionals. And what happens in professional sports when you don't prepare or you have a flat week of practice, okay? Not saying you have the best week of practice every week, but you have a flat week. That, again, that to me means people weren't up, or to your point, maybe the loss from Kansas City was holding over. Is that you're going to go out and face a team that's hungry, like the Atlanta Falcons, who are much
who
better.
Who have nothing to play for.
Nothing.
They don't even have their regular head coach.
No.
Their coach got fired.
And Raheem Morris, of course, a John Gruden protege.
Doing a good job.
Doing a great job. And you know what? Maybe they're fighting for him. But you walk into that and you go down there and you lay an egg, that's not good. It's a tough piece, and it's a tough thing for this team who had played so well. Okay, we're going to go out on the phone lines again. Josh in Sacramento. Josh wants to vent.
Six.
What's up, Josh?
Bro, this weekend hurt. Oh, my goodness. First of all, what's up, Q? What's up, Scott?
What's up,
thank you
bro?
Guys for doing the show, as always. Appreciate your voices. I'm not going to stay too negative on this loss this week. I just feel like, you know, we went out there, we pooped our pants on national television, and it is what it is, and we got to pick it up and go forward. You know, like Q said, and like you said, Scott, it's you know, we let Kansas City beat us twice, and we can't do that. We can't do that with any loss. I get things not clicking. I get, you know, oh, this guy was in a groove last week, but he was flat this week during practice. And, you know, I get all those things, but I did. There were some bright spots, too, during the game. You know, I liked what I saw out of some of the defensive guys, especially on the front line. Nasbitt showing up and getting some stops. You know, Jonathan Abrams seemed to be a little bit more in zone where he was supposed to be. Definitely liked what I saw out of I can't ever say his name, number 44. I had to work last week because of Thanksgiving stuff for the Kansas City game. And then I actually got, Sunday off, and it was hyped to watch this game. And then I sit there and just wanted to put my head in the sand and not wear my silver and black. But, when the national TV cuts away from your game and puts on another game, it's bad. So before Hondo gets on here and tells us all to pick our chins up and move on, I want to say the same thing. You know, it's like, let's take this Monday. Let's cry about it. Let's complain about it. But let's move on. Let's not let this loss beat us twice. Let's pick it up and get out there. And we're playing the Jets next week for Lord's sake. Like, we can't go into New York and lay an egg there. That's just not a thing.
Not 2 years
in a row. It cannot be a thing.
Josh, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate that. Glad you're looking at some positive. And I would say that too. Like, it was a bad loss. It was the worst loss I think this team has had. I think it's even worse than last year's Jets loss because
it is.
They are
the
a much better
expectations are higher.
Yes, and they're a much better team, and there's no way they should have been beaten that soundly by the Atlanta Falcons. At the same time, though, again, I don't think this is Armageddon. You know, don't go stocking food away and getting your rifle out because you think the season's over. I know a lot of Raider fans are there. I saw it yesterday. That's why I kind of stayed off Twitter last night. I didn't want to deal with that
all the time, man.
And then, of course, the Derek Carr stuff is coming back, of course, in force. They were just waiting. So we'll see how that goes. But we're going to go out to Matt in Hoboken, New Jersey, before we go to the break. Matt, you're on with Q and Scott.
What's up, guys? I remember thinking to myself last week that this could potentially be a game where we're hungover and we don't play well and potentially lose. But the way in which we lost this game is absolutely stunning and disgusting to me, mm-hmm. The way in which we lost this game. I thought it was a possibility we could lose this game, but the fact that we laid down the way we did, I thought was an absolute disgrace. And I take two things away from this game. And you may not agree with me, and I don't think you're going to. But first thing I take away from this game is I don't think we are a playoff team. I do not think playoff teams lose in this fashion to, you know, they were a 3-7 team or whatever they were, but they were a decent 3-7 team. But you got to understand that Jones wasn't on the field for them. Gurley wasn't on the field. They got an interim head coach, and we lose the way we did. That indicates to me that I don't think we're a playoff team. And that also indicates to me that we don't have the kind of mental toughness that I thought we had. Because yesterday was a totally mental loss. Mm-hmm. That had nothing to do with the lack of physical skills or talent. Yesterday was a mental loss. And if this team is capable of that kind of a mental breakdown in that kind of margin, I don't see us being mentally strong enough to make the playoffs. I just don't see it.
Well, Matt, it's an interesting point. Thanks for your call, buddy, as always.
Got good points.
Yeah, it's great points. And to me, look, we go back to the preseason. I predicted that the Raiders would go 9-7. Okay,
I said 10-6,
and you said 10-6. So 9-7 to me was borderline playoff team.
Right,
and I think that's what they are, and I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, I thought that it would be disappointing in year three not to make the playoffs, but the way the AFC has laid out this year, and we're going to talk about this later in the show, it's tough. And you got Miami, and you can make fun of Miami all you want, and I know the situation they had with Denver and all that. Miami can beat you, and they're in the AFC. They have a better record than the Raiders, as is the Indianapolis Colts. They have a 7-4 record as well. So you have two teams ahead of you in that play, for those last two playoff spots, and you know it's going to be tough. And this year, I said it a couple weeks ago, you might need 10 wins to get in, and I don't know that they're going to get there. I think 9 is still pretty much, to me, going to happen. So I don't think it's time to push the eject button on anything, but I do agree with Matt that the mental side of this is very disturbing as well, Q.
Yeah, it is. And it's something I gave him credit for last week, being very mentally tough. because it looks like they had overcame a lot. But I kind of feel like they got a little fat and happy hearing all the praise for the loss that they got against Kansas City. And then you hear Derek Carr say that they had a lackluster week of practice. And I know that some will say that maybe that's just Carr making excuses. We got a tweet about that.
Yeah.
But the way they played, in my opinion, just my humble opinion, they played like a team that struggled to practice. They did not practice well last week. You only perform. You don't win games on Sunday or Thursday or whatever day, Monday night. You win them the week of practice. And I feel like they lost that game the week of practice.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, we're going to take a break. We got a lot of callers online. We're going to get to you guys. Be patient, though. Hold on. Wally, Rich, Steven, Elliot, and our good friend Just Win Wendy. Stay on the line. We're going to get to you. We're going to take a break and come back. We'll try to get a couple calls in before we get to our guest, Hondo Carpenter, who's coming up at the bottom of the hour. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today on a Therapy Monday, Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
I'll apologize to our fans as well. That's not who we are. You know, that's not what we want to put on film. You know, especially coming off a heartbreaking loss like we did last week. You know, we were supposed to come out here this week and, you know, kind of take our anger out on the Falcons, and I kind of feel like we didn't do that. I kind of feel like we had a pity party for ourselves.
There you go, Jonathan Abram, pity party for themselves. His words, not mine.
He said it.
He said it. So we're back talking Raiders football here on Silver and Black today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right. Q Myers, Scott Gulbranson on this Therapy Monday. Hondo Carpenter coming up in just a minute, but first we go out on the Raider Nation hotline. It is the doctor's line today. We are taking calls to give you loss therapy. It is Wally. Wally, you're on with Scott and Q.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Wally. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to totally congratulate you two knuckleheads. Man, you nailed that prediction, man. You had the blowout. You had the fact that the Peterman might come in and play. Man, you guys were all over it. That was pretty impressive.
Thanks, Wally. We appreciate the praise.
Who said that?
Oh,
did I miss the inside joke?
No. He was talking about the score predictions that we had up on the website, I think. Is that what you're talking about, Wally?
Yeah, you also said it live on the radio.
I did, absolutely. I own it. I own it, brother.
Yeah, I just had to call him and bust your balls.
Okay. I can take that, Wally, especially from you, my man. You take care of yourself, okay?
All right, later, then.
All right, man. All right, we're going to go now to our guest as we do. If you're online, hold on. We'll get to you, by the way. Don't go anywhere, I promise. We'll get you on the air because it is Therapy Monday. But first, we're going to get a little dose of our uncle, everybody's uncle, Raider Nation's uncle. That is, of course, Mr. Hondo Carpenter. Follow him on Twitter, at Hondo Carpenter. Sports Illustrated joins us now. And Hondo, there's no other way to put it, just a complete toe stubbing. Unacceptable performance by the team, the coaching staff, you name it. Your website described it as inexcusable. It's hard to kind of wrap your head around how they could come out and play that way, isn't it?
No, because you may remember I said last week on your show, I said they should beat Atlanta. I predicted they would beat Atlanta. I said, but this is, you know, a team that the record is not indicative of who they are. This is the thing that blows my mind. And, Scott, you tell your listeners, because I know every week your ratings are growing, if anything I say is untruthful. I came on your show after the Buffalo loss, which I predicted a win, and said, listen, all this means is they got to go win a game that we didn't expect them to win to keep up to my 10-6 prediction, but this is the NFL, and one game a season doesn't make. The very next week, they go and upset Kansas City at Kansas City. So it's one loss. You know, all of a sudden now people are out, Derek Carr's garbage, this team sucks, there's no discipline, yada, yada. Say whatever you want. It was an inexcusable loss, but it was one loss in a 16-game season. It doesn't define them. I still think they go 10-6. It was a loss that's frustrating. It's a loss that, if you're a fan, it certainly is a head-scratcher. But, you know, there's a danger. You can make too much out of some wins, too much out of some losses. People need to get back off the ledge. This is a very good team. They will respond. Great coaches, great players, high character. I have zero concerns moving forward. Now, you go lose to a Jets team that would tie in an inter-squad scrimmage. They're so bad. then I think you have a different scenario. But this is a very good Atlanta team that had problems upstairs in the management. They're gone now. They've played a lot better. No, I don't think there's any reason to be going off the ledge or people overreacting. I'm getting swatted by people with email. You haven't covered this team long enough. We're used to this. Whatever. Say whatever you want. At the end of the day, it's one loss. It certainly is disappointing. But as low as the loss was to Buffalo, how high was the win against Kansas City? This team, I think, is still on the road to 10-6, still on the road to the playoffs.
Well, see, Hondo, I'm with you. I still think the 10-6 is possible. Obviously, they got to win 4 out of the next 5. My biggest issue and my biggest concern with the loss is the fact that, not that it was one loss, but they got something to play for. They're playing for the bigger goal, which is the postseason. And that performance didn't look like that was the focus going into the game.
No, and I'm going to tell you what, Q, I think that's a great analogy. I mean, when you're listening to Derek Carr admitting, hey, it wasn't the week in practice that we thought, Jonathan, no, this is a pity party, I think those are all concerns. I'm not saying that people shouldn't be having, you know, okay, this is an issue, this is an issue. You put yourself in a spot, now you got to run and go 4-1 of the last 5. All of those are germane arguments. But at the end of the day, I'm talking about the Rome is burning, life is over, we now suck, Derek's horrible. I mean, that stuff's just, and I understand that's why we call them fanatics, but you got to understand and get into perspective a little bit. This is still a very good football team that had a very bad day. But to act like that doesn't happen in the National Football League is simply not true. Now, Kansas City probably sitting there saying, yeah, we only had one bad day. Well, guess what? It was the day the Raiders caught them. So the Raiders had a bad day, and Atlanta caught them. They got them. Now I think this is the big statement. Scott, you can tell everyone, Q, you can tell them whether or not I said this with you guys earlier in the week on Wednesday. But now that was a game that they should have gone and put their foot on Atlanta's neck and crushed them. They didn't do it. So now to me, the response, the biggest game of this season is this week. This is a Jets team that's terrible. It's a Jets team that they should crush. Do they do to the Jets what Atlanta just did to them to make a statement? It was one game. We're coming out. We're grabbing ourselves by the bootstraps. We're doing this. I think that's the most vital thing. This game, and if you would have told me beginning of the season this would have been the most crucial game, I would have laughed. But this, to me, is going to be a season-defining game coming up this week. Mm-hmm. A powerful week in practice with facilities closed for 2 days. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, Hondo Carpenter is our guest. Of course, Sports Illustrated covers the Raiders here in Las Vegas. And Hondo, just touching again on Derek Carr's statement at the press conference, I told Q earlier, and I really believe this, I know all of the ridiculous just people who are obsessed with Derek Carr and don't like him are coming back out of the woodwork again, like you talked about. But I thought Derek Carr calling it out, it surprised me when he did it, but I thought it was ballsy. I thought it was the right thing to do. Now, a lot of fans out there in Raider Nation in their post-game depression are calling, saying, well, you're getting to name names, and that's not how a team works. Talk about that, about Derek Carr. In essence, he was calling out the guys because the guys know who they are.
Well, I'm going to say a couple of things. I understand that fans are fanatics, so I don't get on them. But if you want Derek Carr to name people, then you are clueless to how football works.
Exactly.
I thought when Derek Carr stepped up to that platform, I thought that was one of the best press conferences from a quarterback in a losing situation I've ever seen. If anything, and I've got an article coming later this week on this subject, Derek Carr and the Raiders did nothing after that loss to discourage me from changing my 10-6 pick. In fact, everything I saw after that game made me more convinced than ever I'm right. I'm going to tell you why. He called out his teammates, but he didn't have to name names. This is still a team. When I was a kid, my dad used to tell my family, all my brothers and sisters and I, in this house, we're family, but outside, we're united. Yeah. Derek did that. He walked out and said, it's unacceptable. We saw it this week. We recognized it. I'm a captain. He didn't have to name names. He called it out, and now he gets to walk into that facility on Wednesday and start pointing fingers at guys. And if anything, and I challenge your listeners, because I think these are some of the most intelligent football fans in all of America, Go back and watch the press conferences again of every player and the coach. Go back and watch it. Set aside your silver and gray passion, which is awesome and commendable. But I want you to just watch it and show me one guy making excuses. Show me one guy saying, yeah, well, we were down this much or this much. John Gruden even mentioned and said it, but he goes, everybody's dealing with it. It's not an excuse. He brought it up saying, this is what people are going to say. We're not saying it. If you're a Raider fan, and last year, I understand last year, they didn't have depth. And last year when the team did break apart at the end, you did hear excuses. They were legitimate excuses, but they were excuses. There was none of that. It was all on us. This isn't acceptable. You saw your quarterback leading from the front. And I'm going to say to all of you people that hate Derek and all of you for whatever reason, that's fine. I'm not here to get you to love Derek. That's your choice. But when this team goes 10-6, make sure all your Raider stuff that you're saying you're going to throw away, you don't put it back on, because then you're a disingenuous fool. Then you're no longer a person who has any kind of respect. Go put on your Chiefs stuff. Go play with your Andy Mahomes Ken doll. I mean, your Patrick Mahomes Ken doll. Because you know what? I'm just telling you, everything I saw after that game was a group of men that said, this is unacceptable. We're men. We're taking full accountability. This isn't right. It's on us. I saw grown men apologizing. I'm going to tell you something. I think you got a lot more to be encouraged about than discouraged. And I want to give you one quick analysis. During Magic Johnson's last year at Michigan State, when they won the national title and he beat Larry Bird, they went into Northwestern, who, if they had been arrested for being a Big Ten program, there would not have been enough evidence to convict them. And they thought, no big deal, we're going to roll Northwestern, and they got their butts handed to them. And Magic and Judd Heathcote, who was the coach at the time, both said to me personally, that was the best thing that happened to their team, because they realized they weren't as good as they thought they were, and they were going to get everybody's best shot. It's been a long time since the Raiders were the hunted, and they went into Atlanta expecting a bunch of birds to lay down, and they realized those birds got 12-gauge shotguns too.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm saying to you, I think this team responds. I love the press conferences, the accountability, and I'm going to call it right now. The Raiders are going to go into New York, into Gotham, and win big.
Hondo Carpenter, Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven website. You can follow him at Hondo Carpenter. He is here every Monday, and he'll be here a little more now and then as well. Hondo, as always, man, thank you so much for your views.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, there you go. Hondo Carpenter, always.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And, you know, look, I'm not saying that this team stinks. I'm not saying nothing about Derek Carr. I respect, like you said, I respect he came out and said what he said. I'm just interested to see how that translates. You know, everything Hondo said makes a lot of sense as far as these guys are upset, and they should have a big bounce back game against the Jets, even though they got to travel to the East Coast again. I'm interested to see how intense, how passionate, how unacceptable last week's practice is, and then how it is this week, how they change the game up this week.
Exactly. And that's why I if I'm a Raiders fan today, I'm really pissed. But at the same time, you just like the players, you got to flush it. And they're only as good as their latest game. So they got to go on to New York. And to your point and to Hondo's point, I think they got to win big there because they have to make a statement to each other first, which means play as good as you can. Okay, we're going to take a break. Callers on the line. I know it's Therapy Monday. We're going to get to you, Rich, Steven, Elliot, Just Win, Wendy, and Mark. Stay there. We will get to you right after the break. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
We've had a couple games where we have been penalized, roughing the passer, roughing the kicker. We had some holding calls, illegal hands to the face. You know, you fall behind in the down and distance. You give teams free shots. It's a recipe for disaster, and that was what you saw today.
Yes, a recipe for disaster. That's pretty much sums it up.
Yes, sir.
By the way, today, Q, at the press conference, question for Coach Gruden. What do you take from the game film yesterday? Is it hard to watch? Gruden's response, I quote, "You ever go to the dentist and have your teeth pulled out?" Yeah, it's pretty much like that. John Gruden on yesterday's ugly loss. You're back here, Silver and Black today, powered by Sam and Ash. Injury attorney 702-820-1234. Let's run through some calls, Q, before we get to the top of the hour. We're going to Rich, who's been very patient. Rich, you're on with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call today.
Thank you, man.
I'm just sick. You know, I'm sick to my stomach. It's just, I never experienced so much pain with a team year through year through year. I'm a Warriors fan, you know, so we got it out the mud. We struggled for a long time, but we got our chips, you know. We got our rings. We turned it around. And I don't know what it is with the Raiders, man, that no matter what, when things start going the wrong way, we get an offsides here, or you could tell when things are going to fall apart. You know, a bad play happens, it starts being a snowball effect, and we can't, you know, the good teams, they stop that. They stop it, and they get things going in the right direction. I don't know what it is about the Raiders. As soon as something happens in the first quarter, their moxie, their energy, they have no swag. I don't know what it is. You know, I know that Gruden, he's a good play caller, a good coach. You know, Derek Carr, you put him in a perfect situation, you give him time, he's gonna, you know, he can make all the throws. You know, the GM situation with Mayock, yeah, he's all right. You know, people were gassing him up, but man, this draft class is terrible. Let's keep it 100. You know, this draft class is terrible. Derek Carr needs to stop fumbling the ball. 11 fumbles this year. Like, he needs to do some drills to hold on to the ball. I don't know what he needs to do, but, you know, if he has pressure in his face, he's going to fall apart. You know, I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. He is not, but let's call it what it is. You know what I mean? So Gruden got to get it together. He didn't have his team prepared yesterday. That's on him. Carr, you know, talking about the people at practice were flat, and why you didn't speak up during practice? You know, who knows? He may have. But speak up. Don't come and tell us that practice was flat. Tell your teammates to step it up, you know? Like, it's irritating, man. This is depressing. Like, it's like, at this point, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I love my team, and I'm never going to be a fan of another team or anything like that. But I'm emotionally checking out from this team for a minute until they show me, you know what, you guys are going to do a playoff run, win the division, win games you have to win. You know, this is back-to-back years. You lose to the Jets last year. Now you're losing to the Falcons. Now what's going to happen? Who knows if they can win next week? I have no faith because you don't know who you're getting. This team could beat anybody, but they can lose to anybody. And I'm checking out from them this year. You know, I don't even want to make the playoffs this year. You know, this is disrespectful to Raider Nation. It's disrespectful to all the people that love this team, are so loyal to this team. I just want to see greatness, and it's not happening, and I'm just done this year. Thanks, guys.
All right, well, you know, fair enough, and understand the frustration. Totally hear the frustration in your voice. You know, a couple points real quick. You talked about the Warriors and winning a championship, and, yeah, they got multiple rings. They also waited 40 years before they got it. I mean, there was 40 years that went by before they won their first ring. So let's just take that with a grain of salt. And I know it's been a long stinking time since the Raiders have won one, but 40 years went by before the Warriors got theirs. And, I mean, you can check out. I mean, that's, you know, that's your decision, obviously. But I just think that you're kind of overreacting to one bad game, one bad loss that, you're right, is 100% unacceptable. It's not fair to the organization, not fair to the fans, the team. That's why I think John Gruden, Derek Carr, Jonathan Abram, all as a man, apologize to the fan base because they know they're better than that. I don't know. I'm not going to point the finger at one person. I'm going to put that on the whole team, coaching staff, and players for coming up with that L on Sunday. It was, like you said, unacceptable. I don't think that checking out is going to do any good for you or them unless you just, you know, feel better not watching any games.
Yeah, Q, and I know sometimes after a loss, especially when you get your backside handed to you the way they did yesterday, that you, the old memories of the last 20 years kind of pop up. And I get that, right? Because, you know,
right,
if you're a Raider fan, yeah. But I do think whether or not this team makes the playoffs or reaches 10-6, whatever, that's actually beyond the point. I think this team, the progress that the franchise has made is there. Now, this is a COVID year. It's crazy. I'm not making excuses for anybody because there are no excuses. No. I'm just saying it's an odd year. It was a terrible game. You got to let that one go and go on the road and beat the crap out of the Jets. All right, we're going out to Steven. He's looking for some therapy today here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys. How are y'all? I'm not leaving. I'm like the Wolf of Wall Street. When that famous line, he goes, I'm not going anywhere. They'll have to take the National Guard to get me out of here. I'm calling every week for the whole year. And, you know, I hope they win the rest. I don't know. But I'm jealous of all you people that got cut away on national TV at the end because I paid for the NFL Sunday ticket, and I had to watch all the 60 minutes of that. So, there you go. You guys are complaining about being cut away. They did you all a favor, but I'm going to say a little parable real quick. They had this mother that had this little kid that was very optimistic, okay? Took him to her psychiatrist. The mother puts in a kid with a room with a pony, and the pony poops everywhere. 10 minutes later, they come back. The poop's up to the kid's chest. He's flinging the poop in the air, and they go, what are you doing? He goes, with all the poop in here, there's got to be something good somewhere. That didn't really go right. It's supposed to say, with all the poop in here, there's got to be a pony somewhere.
But right.
Either way, they played bad yesterday. I'm not going to let it ruin my week. You know what? For me, if anything, I had a more productive day because until now, I didn't listen to radio. But
there you go.
You know, but Raider Nation Radio is therapy. I might say the last guy that called post-game show therapy eventually lost his job with the Raiders, so I don't know. Be careful there. Mark Davis may not like it being called therapy. Who knows? But
that's funny.
You guys are great. They'll do better. They're too good of a team. I think they just ate too much turkey.
There you go.
Maybe they started believing their press clippings. We all said this is not last year's team.
Boom.
Benny Bonsignore told me on Friday night, I think the Jets game taught him a lesson. They won't let that happen this year. They're human beings.
Yeah.
They have good days. They have bad days. I wake up some days not want to go to work. That's what happened yesterday. But maybe it'll help them the rest of this year. But either way, I got the guys at Scott and Q to lead me on this fight, and we're going to stay Raider fans forever.
Thanks, Steven. We appreciate the call, man. I appreciate the positivity.
You know, and he's spot on. And, you know, just kind of going on with the whole conversation that we had, you know, one of those things when it comes to the practice and not playing well, and remember I said earlier that I don't know why more people didn't step up and say, hey, guys, this is not acceptable. This isn't how we operate. You know, that's in any walk of life. Sometimes you're at your job and the rest of your people around you aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, and maybe more is coming down on you, or I don't know, maybe you're just failing at certain things. I would think for the most part somebody would step up and say, hey, what the hell's going on here? That's what really bothers me about that, is that there is signs that were recognized throughout the week that weren't addressed. That's what bothers me.
Absolutely. You know, and again, I think I had people tweeting at me yesterday, you better rip their ass today. It's like, well, what do you want? It's a bad game.
Yeah, it's not about ripping their ass. It's just about a lot of questions
exactly on
how did we get to where we are right now.
Right. Yeah, you go from almost upsetting the Chiefs again
to
that. That's a troubling sign. Doesn't mean they can't correct it, and I think they will correct it. Okay, we're going out to our good friend, Just Win Wendy, who's been very, very patient. Thanks for being with us today. How you doing?
Oh, wow. Well, I woke up this morning thinking, well, that happened. You know? Like, oh, well, what do we do? And I really appreciate you calling it a Therapy Monday, because sports shows. I'm not going to listen to anything today. I was just so sad. And then I started listening to JT and you know, a couple of, and actually the guys early in the morning too. And it really helped. But the thing was this, last week I was like, Atlanta is a big deal, man. Matt Ryan is a Super Bowl quarterback. I mean, he knows what to do. It wasn't like we were walking into somebody who was down to their last practice squad people. Like, we have to play. You know, and I knew Atlanta was going to be tough. So they were, man, they were. But, you know, it wasn't the whole team. Several guys had big games.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and one guy we're talking to here in a few minutes, Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, Renfro. I was big game. He caught a bunch. I mean, he did really well. He played really well in special teams, too.
Yeah.
And Abram got his first interception, and I mean, there were some really good people, so I can't say the whole team played bad. I'm going to say there were some really bad plays.
There was. But you know what, Wendy? I think the key here is, and I liked the press conferences because, and Hondo brought it up earlier. Look, they take responsibility. I mean,
yeah,
no excuses.
It's so interesting. How many people bet on the underdog? There are going to be blowouts.
Yeah, Wendy, we're losing your signal there. Uh-oh. Wendy, sorry. Thank you so much for calling. We love when Wendy calls.
Yeah, we do. But you know, and she's right. Everybody wasn't bad, but this is football, and football's the ultimate team sport.
That's right.
And if part of your engine ain't working, it's not going to go.
Yeah.
And offensively, they were terrible.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs, no go. Offensive line, no go. Derek Carr put the ball on the ground 3 times. Threw a pick 6. I mean, yeah. Darren Waller, 4 catches. I mean, it just, there was a lot. Hunter Renfrow is probably one of the guys that busted his tail off during the week because he showed up.
He did show up. No doubt about it. Okay.
You get out of this what you put in.
Absolutely. It shows.
Simple.
It shows on the field every Sunday, doesn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a break. Top of the hour when we come back. We got 2 callers waiting. Mark and George, we're going to get to you. Don't go anywhere. We got to go through the break. We come back. We'll get to you guys. And then, again, you're going to open up your ear holes for the Q-tip coming up right after the break. You're with Scott. You're with Q. Only here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.